everyone. Welcome to Children's Worship in the auditorium. And I'm glad all you adults and teens could join us today. Since usually we don't have big people in Children's Worship with us, we're going to sing a quick song. I need everybody to get their cell phones out. And you need to turn on your flashlight. We'll see if I can do this. Hey, mine came on. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine, oh yeah. Off. So, now we turn off the lights, we silence our phones, and we put them under a bushel. Put it under your seat, put it in your bag, put it away, because in children's worship, right children, we don't have cell phones. Because cell phones distract, and we'll talk about that later. If I need to get a little box and so you can like lock it up so you don't touch it, that's fine too. I can put it in the little children's worship or contribution box if you want. This morning, my job is to be on script. So I have a script, and so I'm going to try to stray on that script, which I struggle with. I was telling Joyce this morning. But just so you don't feel like you're missing your phone, I'm going to have a short reel really soon, and you can watch that. We'll have a quick quiz game so you can answer questions as we go through. So last week, we finished up our unit on Jesus being the perfect prophet. He was warning everyone to listen and to turn from sin and to trust in him. Today, you look up on our next slide, we are starting this section called Jesus, the arrest of Jesus. The time for Jesus' rejection was at hand. After sharing a special meal with his disciples, Jesus was betrayed by one of his own and arrested. Even as death approached, Jesus continued to act as the perfect priest, loving his followers, praying to the Father on their behalf. Today, we are in the town of Bethany. So your first question, the map, please. Where is Bethany? Anybody see it? Bethany is right there. Next slide. Right there. So kids, what important things happened in Bethany recently in our class? Teens, you can tell me too. I know it was happening in your class too. Important things in Bethany. Mike? Not yet. That's coming today, actually. So, Bethany is a town located on the southeast side of the Mount of Olives. So, right inside of Jerusalem, about 2 miles away from the city center. So very close. And the things that have happened recently, Mary and Martha and Lazarus live in Bethany. Mary and Martha were serving, Martha was serving and Mary was there. And Martha got upset at Mary, if you remember that story. The other story happened more recently is that Lazarus, their brother, died and came back to life right there in Bethany. Today, we are at their house. So today, we are at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And once again, Jesus is there eating with them, and the Pharisees are there with him, as well as his followers. So let's turn our attention to the screen.
Of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God.
Yes, but how do you harmonize that with the parting conclusion of Kohelet in the Ketuvim? The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another.
What of the temple? The sacrifices, the law, the feasts? Are not keeping these how nations will know we are God's people?
The temple, the sacrifices, the law, the feasts, all fulfilled in me.
You would do away with them?
I said fulfilled, not done away.
I don't understand the difference.
Keeping the law is a response to God's love. But now that I am here, there...
What is the matter? Where have you been?
You were saying about the law. What's going on? Who is this?
My sister, Mary.
Mary!
Spikenard.
Mary, what are you doing?
You're letting your sister touch his feet. That's degrading.
Have you heard nothing of what the teacher has said?
All right, this is enough. Jesus.
Once again, Shmuel, there is no law in Torah commanding that a woman cover her hair. It's just tradition.
You're commending her? Excusing her?
Shmuel, we don't know this family. It's not our place.
Blessed are you, King of the universe, for you have done all things well.
Yusuf Hernan, we need to leave.
No. Rabbi Shmuel, I understand, but we have to...
performing an inappropriate act, openly, without shame. And he is allowing it while being called God. We can't be found out for having witnessed it and done nothing.
An open investigation, you said. Let's see what he says.
Pure in art. Of the highest quality.
What troubles you, Judas?
Why was this ointment not sold for hundreds of denarii?
You just told a story about how caring for the poor is akin to caring for the Messiah.
Yes! This could have been given to the poor. This could have been used for anything. Supplies, shelter, things we need. But this... this is a waste. Where did you get this money, man?
Leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you will always have the poor with you. And whatever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial.
Burial?
What does that mean?
Shh, let him finish.
And believe me, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her.
What your follower said is right. This act was wasteful, immodest, and completely contradicts everything you said before about the poor and lowly.
He said they will always be with us.
The very notion that such a disgrace could be proclaimed throughout the world as part of your gospel, when instead it should be reproached, rebuked, and condemned. It's... I can't be in the same room with this abomination.
Sounds like a personal problem.
I wanted to believe. I came here to give you a chance and you've ruined it.
I'm sorry I couldn't help you.
I'm sorry I couldn't help you.
Rabbi, that is not a man we want to upset if we're trying to unite our people.
For burial?
as we watched this play out, whose side did you feel the most with? The Pharisees? Judas? Mary? Let me draw your attention to what Mary quotes. It's from Psalm 72:18. Blessed are you, King of the universe, for you have done all things well. So why did the Pharisee jump up? Yes. She not only put expensive oil on his feet, he didn't care about that as much. She dried it with her hair, and you see him complain a little bit. But as soon as she said that, he jumps up. Because now she has called Jesus the Creator God. Things have now changed, and that's what he says back. We saw this. And now he just lets her call him God. Mary is here to worship at Jesus' feet. Today, as we think about Jesus being anointed at Bethany, what should happen when we sit here at Jesus' feet? So the first thing that we see about Mary is that her sacrifice, or her worship was sacrificial. It was a sacrifice. Mary was paying a high price to follow Jesus more than just the money. So on the money side, she spent roughly $70,000. Did you hear that? $70,000 for that perfume. So kids, remember last week what our story was about? The guy that gave out one talent, three talents, and five talents, or one talent, five talents, and 10 talents. One talent is how much it cost for that perfume, which is 1 year's salary. So the average U.S. salary is $70,000. So can you imagine spending $70,000 on a can of Coke-sized perfume? That's a lot of money. I don't know if you smelt it. I had the kids walking by earlier with some of the same perfume, some Nard. I smelt it whenever I was sitting down there. I don't smell it up here. It did not cost me $70,000. But that's what it cost her because it was in such small quantities. And she bought everything they had. So it also sacrificed her honor and her glory. She bowed at the feet of Jesus. She anointed them. And then she took her hair and she used that to dry his feet. You can't come to Jesus and leave unchanged. So in Exodus 23:15, it reminds us that we should not appear before God empty-handed. When we come to church, when we worship God at any point in our lives, we need to bring something to him, just like Mary. Are you sacrificing your money, your time, your glory to worship God? What sacrifice did you bring today? So the next thing about her worship is it was significant. It was very important. So the purpose of her worship was to exalt Jesus. You see it by the way she walks in. She pays no attention to anybody else in that room. Martha comes over and talks to her. She doesn't respond. The Pharisees are just there talking, and she doesn't respond. She walks in, and she has a single focus, and that is to exalt Jesus. The importance is not the form of worship, but the object of worship. Her style of worship wasn't approved by the others. You see Judas jumping up. You see the others sort of cringing. You see the Pharisee calling her out. Did she pay attention? No. Because she was set on what she thought was important to do. And Jesus himself brings them back to the purpose. He says, you will not always have me. And it's like, that's interesting. They don't catch it, I don't think. Then he throws out the word burial. And at that point, it's like, what? What? Hey, hold on. What? He's told his followers many, many times. And this is the time where most of them catch it. It took somebody worshiping for them to realize the importance of Jesus. If you remember earlier in the gospel that I had mentioned about Martha and Mary and this whole thing of Martha sort of trying to get Mary to come help, and Jesus said, no, she needs to be at my feet. In this scene, we see that she doesn't stop her. She just tries to figure out why she's crying and why she's back there and where she's been. But in that other situation, we can't let our actions, the things we have to do, keep us from worshiping God. Because that's what was going on. She's like, I'm too busy. I can't do it. I have to clean the floor. I have to make the food. I have to serve you guys. That can't be what we do. Taking care of the church. It can't be running the kids' ministry. It can't be running the teen ministry. It can't be anything. Being a parent. It can't be more important than spending time giving honor and praise to the one who deserves it. The last thing about her worship is that it was sustaining. It was something that stuck around. So just think about perfume and that perfume she poured on his feet. That room was filled with the fragrance. You see, as soon as she opened the bottle, the Pharisee puts his thing over his nose so he doesn't smell how strong it is. The other thing is that she took that perfume and she put it in her hair as she dried it. How sustaining is that? It stayed with her probably for weeks. As she went around, she could remember that time of praise that she gave to the one, the King of Kings. How many times do you remember times when you were praising God? When you were worshiping God, whether it be at Camp Nietes around a campfire or at Inspiration Point or in children's worship or here in this room. Maybe it was during your baptism, before your baptism, or after your baptism. Those times that we remember that we worshiped are sustaining. Worship lingers and sustains us in our life. It's to help us in those up times and in those down times. It makes it life flow and stay together, knowing that we have somebody that is in our side. So if you see the next slide, this is our normal children's worship slide. So this is Mary, and she's there. So as we think about how Mary connects to me, how Mary connects to you, as we head out to school, as we head out to work, we go to bowling this afternoon. How does Mary's sacrificial, significant, sustaining worship touch us and go with us? So worship is a daily thing. Worship is not a one-time event every week. It's not just on Sunday. It's something that we are to do day in and day out. Giving praise, praying to God, being in His courts, because He offers that to us, to be in His presence. Sunday is really just the overflow of our private and our family worship. We can't let Sunday be the overflow into the everyday life, because it's not going to happen, because it's only once. But as we worship day in and day out, it becomes part of our lives, and we are able to worship Him. The next thing is that worship begins with prayer. I know in my house, on most days, and especially on Sundays, it is hectic. Everybody getting up early, usually, rushing around, trying to get ready, and there's not a lot of time for me to think about worship. I'm just thinking about, do I have my shirt on? Do I have my shoes on? Did I put my pants on? Is my belt on so that my pants don't fall down? all these important things that makes me forget about what I should be about all the time, worshiping God. Since worship is a heart matter, it takes time. And it may just take 2 seconds. I know Jeff used to talk a lot about breath prayers. And maybe it's that breath prayer that you have to say, God help me. And that's all I can say today because I'm struggling to get into the car and get to the office on time or to get on the bus and get to school on time as your parent is dragging you into the car because you're late and you missed the bus. The prayer that we give to God puts us in the right place. It takes our attention off of me and puts my attention onto the one to be exalted. Putting God at the center of our life. The other thing that is really good, I think, especially on Sunday mornings, is listening to Jesus' music. It's one of those things that as we head to church, we let God flow into us. And I know a bunch of people, or a handful of people, were at Forest Frank last night listening to Jesus' music. It's one of those powerful pictures of letting God flow in, sometimes in ways that we don't really know. We hear something and it just strikes us. Whether it be Joy FM, Boost Radio, some spiritual, even Elvis singing spirituals can talk to you. Because God can work through His voice that He puts into other people. So it's very important that we allow God to flow into us and to listen to Him speaking to us. The other thing that we have to do is we have to prepare for worship. And it can be as simple as throwing the cell phone somewhere else, getting it out of our hands. We have to get rid of distractions. And sometimes it's not just this simple cell phone that we can turn off and move out of the way, put in your bag or whatever, put in your pocket. Sometimes it's your worry. Sometimes it's your fear. These are things that are a little more complex to get out of your peripheral. But for worship, we have to go to Him. We can't let them distract. If you are reaching for them, just like I can throw it over there, the same is true for worry and for fear. Command them to stop in the name of Jesus. If you are concerned about the way you sing or what you're wearing here in church, stop it. You are being distracted. God has called you to join Him. Not because of your voice, not because of what you're wearing. God has called you into His presence because He loves you. We have an enemy who is about everything that is to distract us. He's working to distract you from praising God, and we saw that in that scene. The Pharisee, oh, Jesus, what were you saying? Sometimes it's important to hear Jesus, but when Jesus stops and is silent to listen to you or to see what's going on, how your worship is happening, we don't just say, oh, let's quickly grab my Bible. I don't want to praise God much more. There are times for praise. There are times for reading. Sometimes we get distracted and we lose our place. We need to put it away. Let God bring us back into His presence and prepare ourselves by removing those distractions. One of the biggest distractions is sin. Sin is simply a barrier between us and God. It's a wall, just something that's there between us. And it's very easy to deal with. Confess it, give it to God, and come to worship Him. Just drop it. Get it out of the way. You say, well, it keeps on coming back. It's okay. Confess it. Go back to worship. God is the one who removes all sin. We need to let Scripture be in our life. We need to let the Bible be one of those things that drive us and is flowing inside of us. God's Word is powerful. If you need a place to start before you go to worship, start in the Psalms. It's full of songs that praise God, glorify His works, and praise Him for His faithfulness. Whether it is starting a new tradition before you walk out your door by reading a psalm or joining the Bible plan that is on the Bible app that MX has been working through, we need to hide His Word in our heart. Let it drive our lives so that when we're worshiping God, we know what to bring out to Him. Worship should be at the heart of all we do in all... Oops, sorry about that. Finally, I misread it. Forgot to put my disclosure up there. I can't read, so I struggle through reading this. So, worship should be at the heart of all we do and all we are. So let's call the praise team back up here. And let's praise together.